should walk in newness of life. I'm going to read a verse or two more, but the title of the message is Walking in Newness of Life. It's about us walking a new way. It's about us walking and doing something new. When you've come to Jesus, if your life hasn't changed, there's a problem. If where you go hasn't changed, there's a problem. If you haven't changed, there's a problem. And the greatest thing about it is God has come down to change us. Amen. Change us not to be like us, but to be like Him. And we all know the world doesn't need me, and it doesn't need you. It needs Him. And so therefore, He said, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. This Sunday, we're coming up. We're going to have a couple baptisms. Heather's going to get baptized. Not you, Heather. The other Heather. Where are you? Back there. Amen. Heather and Connor and someone else. I can't remember. But there's a lot of you here today have not been baptized scripturally. You might have been sprinkled. That's not baptism. I know you were taught that, but it's nowhere. There's no sprinkling in the Bible. Baptism means to plunge, to dip, to submerge. And everyone in the Bible, they went to the river, bodies of water, and they dunked and they were buried. And that's the whole point of being baptized, is a one-time deal that you say you got saved. And Jesus says, if you got saved and received me, then confess me before men. And how we do that is by baptism. We are in front of people, and it says buried with Him in baptism. So your old man, the old you, spiritually speaking, is buried, dead and gone. Just like Christ was buried. And then as Christ resurrected, you now come up out of the water as a resurrected you, and you now walk in newness of life. So I would like for us to have at least 5 or 6 more people to be baptized this Sunday. Nothing should be hindering you. Nothing should be stopping you. The Bible asked and said, what does hinder me? Here's water, the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts 8. He said, here's water. What does hinder me? What's stopping me? And he said this, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So you just need to be able to believe. Children and babies can't believe. So when you're old enough to believe, Connor's just got saved 2 weeks ago. And we were very careful. He's 7, and he's going to be 8 soon. So we were very careful. Toby just got saved. Toby, where are you? Oh, in the school, in the class. Toby got saved, and his parents wanted to know for sure if he was and waited. But after the evidence of what that boy was thinking, what that boy was talking about, oh, my goodness, what a spiritual young man. He's going to be a preacher someday, that one. And so we knew it was time to baptize him. Baptism is one-time deal. And you're baptized in the Spirit when you get born again. But we're supposed to show it to people. It's a profession of your faith that I am associating myself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's very important. And then after that, we're supposed to walk in a new life. Amen? And that's what it says here. If you look back at your text, it says that we should also walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Praise God. Many of us have to remember that. The old you is dead. Amen. The old person that liked the gambling is dead. The old person that liked the bad movies is dead. The old person that lies is dead. The old person that angers is dead. The old person that liked the drugs and the alcohol. And the old you, that person died. Amen. And that's the whole point, is that's not you anymore. You've been resurrected to walk in a new life, in a new way, in a whole new purpose. And that's what a Christian is. We're brand new. We're made new. We've been born again. Amen. And if there's no change, then all you have is religion. And no religion can save anybody. No religion ever saved anybody. Religion's supposed to point people to how to be saved. Not make them feel like, oh, I'm okay, I'm a this, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic. That means nothing. Are you saved individual, born again? And so therefore, when he says this, knowing this in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He mentioned that. That we should not serve sin. When you sin, you are serving it. Sin tempts us, and it draws us, and it entices us. Amen. We need to not give in to it. When Christ came and died on the cross for you and rose again, and when you received Christ, you died on the cross with Him, you were buried, and you rose again. And so therefore, sin has no more dominion over you, the Bible says. The devil has no more power over you, the Bible says. Death and hell are not yours anymore. Heaven is yours. Resurrection power is yours. The Spirit of God is yours. The Word of God is yours. The love of God is yours. Everything that God has is yours now. Do you understand that? So we are not to serve sin. Doesn't mean you won't, but you're not supposed to. Amen? And when you do give in to temptation, you run right to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ the Son will cleanse you from all righteousness. Cleanse you from all sin. And therefore you walk again in newness of life. You get on a bike, you start riding, you fall up, what do? You get back on. You start a journey, what do? You mess up, you get back on the journey. Get back on the road. Get back up. Just start again, start again, start again. I don't care if you do it 25 times. Just never quit. Amen. Just keep walking the straight and narrow because you're doing something that God told you to do. Yeah, you might be behind in the race. Yeah, you might be lagging, but so what? You're still heading forward. And we need to do that at walking in this new life. But it says this in verse 9. Well, in verse 8, I don't think I read that. No, here you go, 7. I knew I was missing one. I love this verse. Look what it says. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundant. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he said, whom the Son makes free, he is free indeed. How many people have been made free from the Son? You've been made free. So now that you're free, now that you're a free man, free woman, what are you going to do with that freedom? See, the great thing about God, and I don't want to say bad thing, because there is no bad thing, but the thing that's hard is when God makes us free, when he makes us free, he doesn't make us follow him. He doesn't. He doesn't make us listen to him. He doesn't make us obey him. He wants us on our own free will to believe in him, trust in him, and follow him. He never makes anybody do anything. The reason I said it was a little bit, because I wish he did. I wish he put me in a headlock and made me do it. But he doesn't. He said, you are Michael, you are now a free man. You choose who you will follow. You choose what you will do. That's freedom. With great freedom comes great responsibility. What are you going to do with your freedom? I want you to think about it in the book of Acts. You don't have to turn there, but it says this in Acts 14, 16. I think, Brian, you're going to put that up. Acts 14, 16 says, God, in time past, allowed the nations to walk in their own ways. God suffered. He allowed the nations to walk in their own ways, but not anymore. Before Jesus Christ, God allowed people to do their own way because they didn't know any other way. Then Jesus showed up, the Son of God, and said, I am the way. Follow me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you believe that, say amen to that.
Amen.
If you believe that he is Lord of all, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that he is Savior of all, God of all,
amen.
If you believe he's coming back for you, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth like he promised, say amen.
Amen.
Well, put your money where your mouth is and actually believe in it. Because if you believe all those things, you would have no problem following him on your own free will. No one's making you come to church. I wish we could. I wish there was a law. Sorry, you got to go. And there used to be. It was called the Old Testament, the law. And people were under the law and they had to do it. Christ came to take away the law. He came to make everyone free from the law so that everyone could do it on their own accord. So if you wanted to love God, you'd love him because you want to love him, not because you're made to love him. You want to serve God because you want to serve him. It's freedom, and that shows who you really are. You set an animal free, and that animal will go do what that animal does. You set a man free, and that man will do what a real free man does. He's going to follow the one that set him free. He's going to stop. He might run for a while, and he's going to stop. He's going to think about it. Who was that man? What did he do on the cross? Imagine Barabbas. When Barabbas was released from prison, he was supposed to be the one on the cross where Jesus died. And they said, Barabbas, you're free. Like, yeah, right. As soon as I run, you're going to stab me in the back. I can imagine, like, why would he believe them? And they finally probably kicked him out and said, go, Barabbas, you're free. And he probably ran and said, I'm getting out of here. And then he probably stopped after a while, like, they're not chasing me. What's going on? Why am I free? And he probably went back and looked and saw Jesus on his cross. And knew that man took my place. I bet you Barabbas became a Christian. That's a different story. It tells us that God allowed us to walk in our own ways at one time, but now no longer. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have gone our own way. Now, you have freedom to do your own thing. You have freedom from God to obey your own thoughts, to do what you want to do. Think about that. You have freedom to go your way. But Jesus, with a still small voice, with the Spirit of God in your heart, says, follow me. Trust me. He doesn't want to have anyone made to do it. What good is it if someone's made to love you, made to obey you? That's not any good. You want someone to do it because they believe in you. I believe in him. I know him. He's made me free from all the bad vices that I had. He's loved me. He cares for me. He's never let me down. He's always given everything I've ever needed. He gives me. Not what I wanted, but what I needed. He provides my every need. He's the best and greatest friend you could ever have. He's an amazing, amazing Lord. He's an awesome Savior. He's an awesome King. And he's an amazing, awesome God. And I cannot wait, and I want to serve him. But because we all, like sheep, have gone astray, we've all gone our own way, that means we've all been influenced in one way or another. We've all gone astray because we've been led astray. Amen? We've been led astray from the truth of God's word. We do what we think is right. We do what we believe is right. We do what we were told is right. But our ways are not his ways. Our ways, your ways, is not his way. You can choose today whom you'll serve. You can choose today whom you'll believe in. You have freedom from God. He made you free. Thank him for that freedom. But what are you going to do with it? That's the whole point of all of this. Truth of God's way has been shown to us through his Son. He has his ways. We have our ways. Amen? What I want from me and from you is to make his ways our ways. To start to learn, what is he want me to do? What am I supposed to do? Where he sends, I'll follow. It's all about following. And the truth of the matter is we need to be led, amen? And I don't know about you, but as a sheep, they call us sheep, we have a shepherd, and he's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep, and I will follow the Lord wherever he leads. And that's all he wants us to be sometimes, is just willing to do it. You know, being saved from hell means being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit that is given to each and every person. In baptism, as we read, it represents the death of the old you and the resurrection of your new soul, your new spirit. And you're made free. And I think of that song, free, free, free. I have been made free. I have met the man of Galilee. He took away my load, my heavy load of sin. And now I'm shouting glory, hallelujah. Amen. Free, free, free. I have been made free. I have met the man of Galilee. He took away my load, my heavy load of sin. And now I'm shouting glory, hallelujah. If you've been made free, it's been free because of the man of Galilee. And I'll tell you right now what you need to do, and each and every one of us, decide in your own self who you'll serve. Decide in your own self who you're going to follow. Because I, for one, with this freedom, I'm walking in a new life. Amen? Newness of life. That says walking in newness of life. It's got to be a new way. It's got to be a new truth. It's got to be new ideas. It's got to be new thinking. It's got to be all new. Amen? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And when I'm doing what I think I should do, and when I'm doing what I think I should go, it always messes up. And I just, for one, have decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen? I freely choose to follow Jesus Christ, the Lord. No one's making me. There's no law I'm under. I was a slave to sin, but now I'm made free. And as a free man, I'm going to follow the one who died for me. And that's me. And that's what he wants for all those. Because you know who's going to get the rewards in heaven? Those that freely serve. Those that freely give. Those that freely obey. Those that aren't made to do it. And that's what religion does. Religion puts shackles on you and says, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this. No, there's only two things Jesus said you have to do. One, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized and then commit, keep the communion. That's all he said. Two things. Be baptized after you're saved. After you're saved. One time. And it's done. So then there's only one communion with the Lord. Communion with the body and the blood of Christ. It's simple. Amen. God is so good. You know what that means? Fellowship with the Lord. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Door of your heart. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. And I will sup with him. And he with me. You want to have supper with Jesus tonight? You want to have a lunch time with Jesus? I mean, it's fellowship. And that's all our job is to do, is to get to know him and trust him and love him. And believe that he is your best friend. Because he is. Believe he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Like some the Bible says, when fathers and mothers forsake us, the Lord will pick us up. God is so good. And I just want you to realize that. You know, Romans 7, 6. One verse, one page over. Romans 7, verse 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. If you are coming to church because you think the commandment says thou shalt not, and it does say that, don't come because of the commandment said it. Come because Jesus Christ wants you to. Don't do anything because you have to do it. You can if you want, but it doesn't please the Father. What pleases God is trusting him, believing him. When God told Abraham, Abraham said, yes, Lord, here I am. He said, I want you to offer me your son, your only son, as a burnt offering on a place I'll show you. He didn't say, okay. He just did it. But my point is, he could have said no. Because God did it to tempt him, to test him, to see if he would believe. I want you to turn with me, if you would, Mark chapter 10. And this is where our message really lies, in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, when you get there, say amen so I know. We should serve God not by the law, but by the Spirit. We're delivered from the law so that we can walk in a newness of spirit. Who will you freely choose to follow? It's just your choice, amen? I want to talk to you about this briefly, about walking in a new life, a new way. It says in chapter 10, in verse 17, we're going to start. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, you ought to underline that. He says, when he was gone forth into the way. You see, Jesus had a way. There's a way about him. Jesus had his way. You have your ways. I like certain things. You like certain things. I like to do certain things my way. You like to do them your way. Amen. Well, Jesus has his way. Amen. Things that he liked to do, things the way he did things, the way he talked, the way he walked, the way he prayed, the way he preached, the way he loved. It was his way, just like you have your ways. And we're supposed to walk in a new life, in a new way. And when you get born again, you have to learn how to do it a new way. If you don't learn, you're never going to do it. You're just going to stay the old way. You're going to do what comes natural. Can I get an amen? You're going to just do what comes natural. I'll tell you right now, you got to be supernatural. Amen? You got to be born again by the Holy Ghost of God and let the Spirit of God lead, guide, direct, correct, smack you sometimes, love you all the time. God is real. But what it is, Jesus said, follow me. And it says right here that Jesus went into his way. And it says, and there came one running and kneeled to him. And asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This man heard of Jesus, believed in Jesus, came running to Jesus, bowed down to Jesus. And he said, Lord, he's asking Jesus, what should I do? And Jesus answered him and said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. We have to trust and believe who Jesus is. He is God. That's what Jesus is actually saying. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Look what the commandments say. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lack. The law cannot give you eternal life. Thou shalt not You shouldn't do some things. Can I get an amen? But that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It's not the do nots. It's the what you do. God doesn't want you to do not. He wants you to do. And you have to find out, what does he want me to do? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to believe in him and what he tells us to do. Now, what he tells us to do is, remember, it's not your way. It's his way. So when he tells you to do it, you're not going to be used to doing it because it's not your way. But we're supposed to walk in newness of the way. We're supposed to walk in a new way. Can I get an amen? So don't be dismayed when you get saved. Is this on? Is this on? Don't be dismayed when you become a Christian and you start to learn and some things. It's not. I didn't do anything.
There you go. It's on. I didn't touch it, though. Amen. Ooh. Ooh. Just remember, you come to Jesus, you get saved, you might run away for a while. Next thing you know, you're coming back like, I want to learn. You're starting to come into church. You're starting to learn a little bit. And then you find out what he wants me to do. Well, sometimes you're going to hear some things that you don't agree with. Or you don't like them. Or you just don't want to do them. Or it makes you sad. And that's exactly what we have here. This young man came, believed in Jesus, fell down in his feet, asked him, what should I do? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. And he said, I've done all them. And look what happens. Jesus said to him in verse 21, and beholding him, he loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Now what? Think about that. One thing. And he said, go your way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up that cross and follow me.
Amen.
Now, we all know how hard it is to get up on money. We all know how hard it is to give up on your money. How many people have ever had money in their life? Is it still around, or did it make wings and fly away? It flies away. That's what the Bible says. It says riches make themselves wings and they're gone. They're here one minute, gone the next. But eternity and eternal life and treasures in heaven is forever and ever and ever. Amen. So anyway, look what it says. I love this verse. It says in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying. He was sad when he heard certain things. You're going to hear certain things. Some of you were sad when I said you should be baptized scripturally underwater. You got sad because you don't want to do it. You know how many people are going to try to enter into heaven without even doing first things first? Be baptized, first thing. They call us Baptist church. Well, Catholics, they, because we baptize people scripturally and they sprinkle babies. Babies, all good babies go to heaven. The Bible tells us that. There comes a certain time when children are accountable and you parents have to tell them about the gospel. And you got to tell them how to be saved. Amen. But there's people, some people are sad. Oh, I got to be baptized. They don't want to do it. Then there's people sad that when they hear about you should tithe your income. And I hate talking about tithing. I don't care about it. I don't. But that's what God teaches. And they go, oh, I don't want to give that much. I can't give that much. And they don't realize something, right? They don't realize the benefits of obeying the master. They don't understand the benefits of just doing what you're told. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter your way. It matters what God said. And you do it. Abraham, you think he wanted to kill his son? Do you think he wanted to take his son up and put a knife through him and burn him? Of course not. He did it because he trusted God. He even said in the Hebrew, he said he knew that whatever God says, he could just bring him back to life because he's God. But yet people, the Bible says, be baptized. You're like, ah, that makes me sad. I was sprinkled. You got that from the Catholic Church. Anything from the Catholic Church, probably bad.
Amen.
Seriously. Now, why do you think there was a great Reformation? Probably bad. I know you might not like to hear that. But you're going to hear some things in the Bible you don't like. Amen? And he said he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, just go home, sell everything you have, give it to people. What a blessing that would have been. He said, and come and follow me. And he was sad at that because he didn't want to give up. Please listen. He didn't want to give up what he has. And that's the big problem, the big rub. When people say, I got to do this, or God wants me to do this, I'm going to have to give up something. I'm going to have to give up something. I'm going to have to give up this. I'm going to have to give up that. And then they're sad because they don't want to give it up. You understand what I'm saying? You're all with me. Come on. You just don't want to give it up. And sometimes just giving up is what you believe. And what you believe is against the doctrine of the Bible. And it's because it's your religion and you believe what you want to believe. Sometimes you don't want to give that up. Sometimes you don't want to give up your money. You don't want to give up your time. You don't want to give up your energy. You don't want to give up something. And what happens here, Jesus said this, pay attention. Look what he says, verse 23. When Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly? Not going to be many rich men in heaven. Look what it says. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Then he goes and says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Look what, pay attention, 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? You see, they were following Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, there's going to be things you don't understand. When you follow Jesus, there's going to be things that God says, God asks you to do, that you're just not going to understand. It's not going to make sense. But you know what? It's not for us to make sense of God. It's for us to follow God and obey God. Because what we're going to learn in a minute is you never give up anything with God. Whatever you think you give up, he gives you 10 times more. And that's a fact. But no one's going to experience that until they just do what God says to do. And the whole point of it is he gave you freedom, and he wants you to follow him willingly. He wants you to do it because you believe in him. Do it because you trust him. And that's what we as people, we got to get there. We got to get from this point to that point. We got to stop doing it the old way and start doing it the new way. Amen. The new way is his way.
Right.
It's not my way. If you're here in this church and you hear me preach a message or anything and I'm reading out of the Bible and it's wrong what the Bible really teaches, you better come to me and say, Pastor, that was wrong. And I'll repent and I tell everyone, I was wrong. Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm his servant to minister the word of God, to tell everybody. I'm the big mouth. Hey, watch it.
Amen.
Watch it. I got a big mouth. I'm not afraid to use it, all right?
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'll go and tell everybody about it. Someone's got to, right?
Amen.
Someone's got to tell you about how to be saved, right? Amen. This young lady got saved 2 weeks ago. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But she's going to have to learn. She's going to learn what I had to have to learn. What you have to learn is we have to just do a new way. We got to get rid of the old friends, the old ways, the old things, and we got to start following Jesus. Amen. The problem is you're going to go away sad probably and say, oh, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have to do that. And that's where this message gets really neat, because when you think about it, Jesus goes into his way, and Jesus has his ways, and we have our ways, amen? And you got to think about the way that Jesus has and his ways and our ways. And think about, we should make his way our way, amen? And think about it, the way you live your life, the way you love should be a new something new. The way you give should be new. The way you serve should be new. The way you think, the way you act, the way you work. See, we know Christians should be the greatest workers at a company. They should get there early, work honest, steal nothing, don't waste time, and everyone should say, wow, the people at work will hate you because you're doing it the right way.
Right.
And your bosses are going to love you. And you will do nothing but get promoted and get promoted. I don't care who you are. You go into McDonald's and you show up early or on time and you work hard and you do the job, they're going to be like, no one else is like that. You're going to be the manager, the system manager. Next thing you know, and you move up. Next thing, that's just the way it is. You get blessed by doing what God says, because it always works. If you just give God your little bit of money, and I'm saying this for your benefit, not ours, not mine. Honest, please don't take it the wrong way, because I hate talking about money. But like when we get the envelopes, right? It's like a big stack, and you're like, wow, it's a lot. It's going to be a lot, and then half of them are $1, $2, $5. I'm like, that's all they make? And poor people. They must be so dirt poor. They only make 50 bucks a week. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I help them? Maybe I should bring them dinners. Maybe I should give them a ride somewhere. Maybe I should just give them 20 bucks, because they must be really, really hurting. And they continually give $1. Like, seriously, really? You tell God that. Say, here, God, I'm going to go spend 80 bucks on dinner, but here's a buck for you. Seriously, God said, give me 10% of everything you make, everything. And I promise you, I'll bless you beyond measure. That's what he said. Amen. Every rich person that's a Christian knows this. The people at these companies that are Christian, they give 90% because they keep God keeps blessing them. See, you don't trust God with your money. This guy didn't either. He didn't either. And all God's saying, if you made $100, give him 10. If you made $500 for the week, give him 50. It's unheard. You know what I mean? But yet, people, will they'll do a lot, but they won't. Here's that $5. You know what I mean? Like $5 in the old day might have done something, but I'll be honest, it doesn't even buy half a box of donuts. Joe probably spends $35 every Sunday on donuts for y'all. Amen? And I mean that. It's like, we don't trust God with our money. And we're not going to trust him with our heart. Of course not. But it's his way. And that's the whole point. Look with me, if you would, please. Turn real quick, if you would, to Isaiah. We're going to go back. But Isaiah chapter 55. Brian, if you could put that up. Isaiah 55, verse 6. So I just want us to realize that we have to walk in newness of life. You can't expect to do the same old things all the time, expect a different result. Why don't you try and trust in God and just do what God wants you to do? Look what it says, verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Talk about your pardon. And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We've got to walk in a new life. And that new life is just like this young man, good guy, really good guy. He says, I've kept the commandments, I've done all this, and Jesus said, one thing you're lacking. Whatever that one thing is in your life that you're lacking for following Jesus, you're lacking to trust him with, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's tithing, maybe it's coming to every service, maybe it's coming to communion once a month for 1 hour out of your life. Whatever it is, I don't know, but you're free. You can do whatever you want. You choose. But if Jesus commands it and says, do it. You know what he said? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
You don't have to. It's out of love for my Savior. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, how he could love me, a sinner, so unclean. I want you to think about this. Look in Mark with me, please, back in Mark. So it says it's easier in verse 25 to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. What that means is it's impossible. Look in verse 26. For they were astonished at a measure and saying to them, who then can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Someone say amen.
Amen.
All things are possible with God. Well, I don't know if I can tithe my income. All things are possible with income. I mean, with God. I don't know if I can make it to every service. All things are possible. I don't know if I can pray every day. All things are possible. I don't know if I can read my Bible every day. All things are possible.
Amen.
And see, we've got to start doing something new. We've got to start it. And stop doing the old ways and start walking in a newness of life.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I am that life. Amen. Look what it says with me in verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we've left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now stop. Peter and James and John and them, they left their house, they left everything, his wife. And Peter says, Lord, I've left it all. What about me? And that's what happens is this rich man, he thought he was going to have to give up his wealth, right? He thought he was going to have to give up the beautiful house and the swimming pool and the nice car. He thought he was going to give it up, Robin. You don't even have to, I'm going to have to be a missionary to Africa and live on beetle bugs. You know, I'm going to have to drink dirty water and get, typhoid. That's what people think. Oh, if I follow Jesus, it's going to happen. You don't know how good he is. God's awesome. Look what he said. He said, nobody that has left anything for my sake in the Gospels, verse 30, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Oh yeah, with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen.
You see, what happens is when God asks you to do something, so many people get sad. Oh, I gotta, you mean I have to, as an older person, go up and be baptized? You should. It's up to you. You're going to one day stand before him. And he's going to say, why didn't you obey? Well, I thought I did, and I thought I... You can make excuses all you want. He knows. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly the truth. And you're going to be rewarded for all eternity for what you did honestly. Not what you did because you're made to do it. Not what you did because your parents told you to do it. Not what you did because the pastor told you to do it. But what you did because you trusted him and believed him.
Amen.
And that's when you get and stand before him, he's going to give you rewards. And those rewards are going to be your rewards for eternity. And that's why he says, look at the rich people now. Go out and look. Isn't it great to have that big house on the water? Isn't it great to have that nice car and a beautiful pool? Man, that's really great. Well, guess what? That only lasts so long in this world.
Right.
If you will trust me and follow me, you're going to have riches beyond for eternity.
Amen.
That's what he's telling us, but people don't believe it. They think, if I got to give up my little measly little bit of this, in all reality, what do you really have that's not going to fall apart or be gone?
Amen.
What do you really have? The thing is we won't even trust him with the little things. That's why we don't trust him with the big things. Be baptized. Have communion. Pray. Seek God's face while he's near.
Amen.
Love him.
Amen.
Serve him.
Amen.
You might say, what's it mean to serve? I don't know. Whatever he tells you to do. He tells me to do one thing, he tells you to do another. You're all servants of God. See, what happens is it's like this, and this is a true story. There was a man back in 1812, I can't remember exactly, and it was in the Old West, and they were having slaves. And they came in, and they were selling slaves and slave trade. And this guy came into town, and he saw it, and he was disgusted, and he was mad. So he went over to the slave guy, and he bought three of the slaves. And he paid the money for them, said, set them free, I'm buying them. So the slaves didn't know it. And then when they heard, at the time they get sold, they were in chains, and they came up and they unlocked their chains and they unlocked their handcuffs and they said, go ahead, go. And they didn't know where to go. They were like, what do you mean go? Somebody paid for you. And they were like, what do you mean? We don't know anything. We don't know where we are. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. What should we do? And he said, well, that's not our problem. That's your problem. And they asked, well, how did we get? And they said, that stranger came into town and paid for you. You know what they did? Two of them said, I want to know this stranger. I want to meet him. And they followed him and served him the rest of their lives, and they didn't have to. They told him, they said, we'd rather trust you. We'd rather serve you, because we know we can trust you at least. And they went around helping people all throughout the West. They started churches. They helped people, old widows, and it was amazing what God did in their lives. The other one, the one didn't, they never heard of him again. He just went somewhere. Don't know what happened to him. But I'm here to tell you, you've been made free. You can do whatever you want to do. But if I were you, I'd find out who the one that set me free. I'd find out what he paid, why he paid it. What's he want me to do? You know what he wants you to do? He said, I want you to have life. Life more abundant. Have a great life. How do I do that? Well, if you follow me, I'll show you. If you trust me, I'll tell you. But the problem is people don't want to do it. They don't want to do the smallest things because it's not their way. And that's all I want today, is I want you to understand we all have a way. And if you don't know your way right now, if you don't know your way, you better find out what it is. Because if it's the wrong way, right, you can correct it. If it's a dangerous way, you can turn away from it. It's called repentance. But all I know is that I trust the man from Galilee.
Amen.
I trust the man named Jesus Christ.
Right.
I believe in him, and I'm going to follow him.
Right.
And so far, for 32 years, he has never led me wrong, never let me down, has never once made me even doubt what he was doing, because I just did what he said. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I know me. I know that everything I do is wrong. It is. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. So I trust him to do it. Let's finish up. Look what it says. It says after in verse 30 when he said, he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. You know, we had a, what time is it? We had a very large house. The first house we bought, 5,000 square foot home, big 5 bedrooms house, 4 or 5 bathrooms. It was an amazing house. I just, when God was calling me into ministry, I couldn't afford it. So I sold everything and bought a little dinky house and to get into ministry. But my point is we had at our church, these guys come from South Carolina and they were bricklayers. And they were pretty poor out there in South Carolina. They came all the way up here to build a wall for the church. And we let them live in our house. And I remember this guy, this old kind of hillbilly guy, had an accent and all. He was walking out our hallway. I'm not kidding. I love that house. I wish I kept it. But our hallways were like 10 feet wide, at least. The hallways where you go down in doors, big house. Anyway, so I remember him walking down. I came out of my bedroom, and he said, now I understand. And I said, what? He goes, I never understood what God meant by you would receive houses and sisters and brothers. I said, what? He goes, I come up here and look at this. Because so when he came into my house, I said, my house is your house. My food's your food. You do whatever you want. And it hit him like a brick wall. And he said, now I understand. I come all the way up here in Pennsylvania, and I have a house. I have a brother. I have a family. And that's what it's like being a Christian. You can go to India and meet Christians, and they welcome you in their home. You can come from India to here and meet Christians. You have brothers, and you have sisters. You have houses and cars. You have everything that you could ever imagine, more than you ever had. And you wanted to hold on tight to that little bit that you had because you were afraid to give it away. Jesus never wants to take anything from you. He wants you to be willing to give it. And then you'll find out he gives you so much more in return. Doesn't he, friend? He's good, isn't he? Look what it says, and we'll finish up. Verse 32, he said, and they were, there it is, in the way. They were in the way. That's the way, the new way we should be going. Going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed as they followed him and were afraid. I want you to understand that when you follow Jesus, you're going to be amazed and afraid. You're going to be amazed and afraid. That's, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. The abundant life isn't boring. The abundant life is exciting. Following God is exciting. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it's fun. But it's always a new adventure. Amen? You'll never be bored. You'll never not have, because God will provide everything for you. There's no one in this church right now that is a faithful member of the church that the church wouldn't give them whatever they needed. It's the people that aren't faithful and don't come to church. They're the ones that call. Can you give me money? Can you pay my electric bill? I'm like, who are you? And I'm like, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come to church this Wednesday night? We'll pray about it. They never come. See, but the people that are faithful to God, you know why? Because God always provides their need. Doesn't he, Heather? Doesn't he, Heather, in the back? Two Heathers right behind each other. There you go. Amen. Look, I just want to finish with this. Look it with me, if you would, in verse 51 and 52. I'll just finish because we're done. But Jesus, after he leaves there, and he goes and he meets this man called Bartimaeus. He has a title, Blind Bartimaeus. He's the blind guy at the side of the road that's calling, Jesus, Son of David, help me. And they told him, shut up. And he said, no. And he would yell, Jesus! And Jesus stopped and said, bring him here. And he'd get here and he said, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? He said, that I could see. Look in verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Would we all think right now, the Bible tells us, we read it in Sunday school, that people don't do what God wants them to do because they don't think they have to, because I don't need it. Because they think they're rich and had need of nothing. Jesus said, really, you're wretched, poor, miserable, and blind. If you could only see what God sees, if you could only see what God has in store for you, if you could only see what your life could actually mean and do in the lives of others if you just trust Jesus. So when he said, I want to see. I think all of us in this room should pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me have the eyes of faith and let me believe. Look what happens. It says in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. So he's telling us, go your way. Go and do what you're used to doing. Look what he says. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received sight. Look at this, Tony. And he followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
He's like, I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way.
Amen.
Free, free, free. I have been set free. I have met the man of Galilee. He took away my load, my heavy load of sin. And now I'm shouting, right? Amen? Anton?
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. I want everyone in this room, when I see you and say, how you doing? Say, high fives and hallelujahs.
Amen.
How you doing, Joe?
Because
he knows what he deserves and God takes care of you, doesn't he, Joe? Joe, you've been saved for 2.5 years or 2 years now. You regret any minute of it? Amen. How about you, Tony? You've been saved for 3 years now. You regret any moment?
Nope.
I've been saved for 32 years. Not one day has gone by that I ever regretted following Jesus.
Amen.
He is awesome. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus made him free and gave him his sight and said, go your way. And he said, no, I'm following you. I want your way. We make our way his way. Amen. You have a chance right now. Would you please stand to your feet and every head bowed and every eye closed as the invitation song plays. It's an invitation for you to come to this old-fashioned altar and bow before your Lord and your Savior. And why don't you, maybe some of you can rededicate your life. Why don't you talk to him and say, Lord, I give you, I don't have much to give, but what I have, I give to you. Why don't you give him your love? You have any love to give? Why don't you give him your faith? You have any faith? Song? Praise? Will you trust him? Will you obey him? Will you believe in him? He'll never let you down. He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll lead you and guide you to green pastures and still waters. I'll restore your soul. The blessings of the Lord, they maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. What he gives you, the blessings of God, you won't have any sorrow on it. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, why don't you ask Jesus now and say, Lord, call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Lord, I've been blind, going my own way, thinking that's the best for me. I trust you, Lord. Can you say that to him? Say, I trust you, Jesus. Father God in heaven, I trust you. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me. Correct me. Instruct me. I give you my heart, Lord. Can you have enough faith to give him your heart? Give him your soul today? Say, may your thoughts be my thoughts. May your ways be my ways. Teach me, Lord. I'll trust in you. I love you, Lord. Can you tell him that? Can we say that today? Everybody say, I love you, Lord. Let him hear it. Let him hear you say, I love him. Don't ever be embarrassed to say, I love you, Jesus. Follow him. Trust him. Give him your heart and let him guide your way. Almighty God in heaven, our Father, look down upon us and open our eyes that we may see. Help us to see ourselves. Are we selfish? Are we stubborn? Are we hard-hearted, pig-headed, stiff-necked? What are we, Lord? Open our eyes. Let us see. Lord, we believe in you. I believe in you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you with the life of my family, with my children and grandchildren. I trust you with them. I trust you in my job. I trust you in my home. I trust you in my finances. Lord Jesus, I give all I have to you. And I thank you for loving me, caring about me, saving my soul, washing me clean, giving me the Holy Spirit and eternal, everlasting life. I pray, Lord God, that you'd use me today. Why don't you ask, say, Lord, use me to do your work and will. And I'm not 100% sure if you died right now,
If you died right this moment, would you end up in heaven? Or would Jesus say, I never knew you? If you want Jesus to know you, and you want to go to heaven, and you're not sure, all you have to do is believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon him and say, Jesus, save me. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I don't know if I know you or not. I'm scared. Jesus, save me and give me the light of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.